We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us on the line, has covered the Philadelphia Phillies for two decades, does a brilliant job at the Philly Voice, Forbes magazine, and of course his Working the Beat podcast with Mike Kern. His name is Kevin Cooney. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning. Now, is the emotional support line allowed to spit sunflowers?
No, Kev, you know they can't do that. I mean, we got to make sure we follow the protocols.
Kev, goodness. We're going to get into all that. But I have to start with, you know, this is Once and For All Week, and this is our finale. And the topic of conversation today is all about Gabe Kapler. And, Kev, you covered his tenure. You covered many tenures prior to him. Let's start with this. Where would you put the Gabe Kapler regime of Phillies baseball in the Kevin Cooney archive? How would you, if someone were to ask you about it, how would you best describe it?
I couldn't describe it because, to be honest, I didn't know what the hell it was. I mean, to be honest, to me, it was a bad idea from the start. It was filled with, look, he didn't have the best talent. That's a given. You know, you look at what the Phillies and Matt Klentak gave him, and it's not all his fault. But he exacerbated the problems himself. Bullpen handling was one thing he never learned. The two coaches he leaned on the most, Chris Schoen and John Malley, were a disaster. And he had a hand in picking them. I mean, look, if you look at everything that's going on, he had a hand in picking both of them, so that's on his resume. And he never connected with his players. There's a reason why his players faded down the stretch, and it wasn't just because they weren't good enough. It also involved the fact that there is a fatigue level that goes with Gabe Kapler of having to deal with everything, every day, the way he operated for 6 months. And I think that's something that I know Joe's going to disagree with it, but I think that is a major, major part of why Gabe Kapler didn't succeed here. And it was a bad idea again from the start. It just really was.
Well, I mean, when did you have that first inkling that maybe this isn't going to work out? Because I will say this, when he had his introductory press conference and everybody was wondering, Gabe, why on earth would they say Gabe Kapler? After that press conference, everybody was ready to run through a wall for him because he said all the right things from at the start. When was that first sign that you said, I don't know if this was the right call?
Well, I think he was buried by the first week. I mean, between the Nola thing and then not having the pitcher ready to warm up or not having the pitcher warmed up in Atlanta. And then there was another incident in New York, and that actually led to Pat Neshek, of all people, pulling him aside and saying, hey, you know, you can't do this and all that. That first week kind of showed that he was probably not ready for the job at that point.
Do you think he will have better success in San Francisco? It's one of those, learning on the job and he will improve, or do you think we've seen exactly what he is?
I think we've seen what he is in this sense. I don't think that the talent in San Francisco is going to be any better than what he had here. I mean, he's going to run into the same issues that I know Joe has with the roster construction he's got. The problem for Gabe is, again, and in my mind, I just think his whole – the way he goes about business and it just as far as the way he operates a clubhouse – operating the clubhouse is the most important thing that a manager can do anymore, okay? to make sure that the atmosphere is in the right spot, to make sure that, players are ready to play, to hold them accountable, that's not his strong suit, okay? And no matter what happens with your talent, I mean, if you don't have the talent, you're already up against it. If you don't have the talent and your personality is just one that's not going to naturally be able to lead men for as long as a baseball season is, they get tired of you and they tune you out quick.
Kev, I have a couple baseball questions I have to ask you, as well as an awesome story you're going to tell. But before I do so, is there anything you would like to say to the individual sitting to my right who is here defending a one Gabe Kapler for the next, 15 hours?
You know, Joe, look, I like Joe personally, okay? But Joe, between the Kapler love you have, okay, and you referred to Sam Hinkie the other day as a great general manager, I'd love to see what would have happened if these guys had actually finished a game above 500. You know, like, it just feels like you're loving them. I don't know what the judgment is on the love there.
Well, the love is on the idea of what their job was to do. I mean, I can't judge people on unrealistic expectations, Kevin. I agree with what some of you said there, and I think probably the worst thing he did was rely on those two coaches. I mean, Kranitz to Young was a major mistake. But one thing you said there, Kevin, two things. One, the bullpen thing, I think we're living in what happened early and ignoring the results. Like, yeah, the last 2 months of last season, their bullpen was really good with garbage. Like, he figured out how to run a bullpen at the end of his tenure because they didn't give him anything, and they got a lot of outs. And the second thing, and Kevin, you might be right, but it's worrisome if you are. When you said you think they may have wilted down the stretch 2 years in a row, partially because of his personality, I mean, I hope you're right. Because that means that Rhys Hoskins is a star player and not someone that fades down the stretch. And it would mean that Aaron Nola is an ace and not someone that fades down the stretch. I can't blame the manager for Rhys Hoskins not hitting for the last 2 months. I can't blame him for Aaron Nola running out of gas. I hope you're right, because that means those guys will lead the Phillies into the playoffs this year. But if I'm right, it means that those players aren't good enough.
All right, Kev, I wish I had more time for rebuttal, but I want to squeeze a couple of things in with you, Kev.
Okay.
So John Heyman tweeted it was late last night about negotiations between the owners and players and how the owners are expected to propose a 50-50 revenue share with the players, who are then expected to shoot it down. Kev, that seems like a fair offer, no?
It doesn't, John. I think the one thing is it just smells of a salary cap. And unless there is some guarantee that there is going to be, that this is a one-off, that in 2021, that this is going to go back to what it was beforehand in the CBA, then the players are not going to go for it because they know what's looming at the end of the next year. They know that it's going to be a very contentious collective bargaining agreement. So there's no
trust. So why don't you wait till the end of next year?
Because there's no trust right now.
Yeah, but you can still stop playing the end of next year.
But there is no trust, Al, that they don't want to go anywhere near this. They don't want to go. And I don't think it's a bad offer, but I'm just telling you, they don't want to go anywhere near the ballpark that's going to get them into that being a negotiating chip. They want to put this out of the owners' minds right now.
Well, I mean, Kev, the clock is ticking. You have been very optimistic when we have spoken that a deal will be reached and there will be baseball, barring something coronavirus related. Do you still feel optimistic?
No, I'm actually pretty pessimistic. Oh. I think that there's too much in the way of logistical hurdles, both on the contract end and with how everything with the health end of it's going to go. I just don't see where this is going to work.
So, I mean, I guess I know this answer, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. What starts up first, the NBA or Major League Baseball?
The NBA.
Oh, no.
The NBA and the NHL both start and have their playoffs, but the idea of a season, having to play 4 months of a season, is just too much, I think, for them to overcome right now.
All right. So we need to end our conversation on a much lighter note and a more fascinating note. As I received a call from Kevin Cooney a couple days ago, who Kev does, in addition to writing for Philly Voice, he does an awesome podcast, Working the Beat, with Mike Kern who covered college and professional sports in this town for many, many years. And each and every week they interview different people, both athletes, coaches, etc. And this past week on your episode, on your latest episode, Kev, you spoke with Deuces Rogers, who is the sports anchor at 6ABC, does an awesome job. He told you one of the most amazing stories that I refuse to believe was real, but, you know, upon further review and speaking to other parties, was most definitely confirmed. Could you tell this story for us, Kevin Cooney?
All right, briefly. Deuces and Jim Gardner occasionally in between shows, between like their 6 o'clock show and the 11 o'clock show, will go at the games. I've seen them at the Lee Acura Center. I've seen them at the Palestra. I've seen them in the press box at CBP. The one night they're sitting at CBP, Deuces says. And
hold on. So as we say, before you get into this biggest part of all, Jim Gardner, by the way, is a staple, an institution in Philadelphia. For over 4 decades, he has been the anchor, the go-to guy. Everybody has, most generations have grown up with him. So he has met everybody under the sun, from politicians to celebrities to athletes. He's been there, done that. Nothing surprises this guy. Nothing should excite him at this point in his life. Carry on. I'm sorry, Kev.
So... they're sitting next to each other, and Gardner taps Deuces and goes, "Hey, isn't that Paul Jolowitz? Okay?" And Deuces goes, "Yeah, it is." He goes, "Hey, you know, can we go over and see him and talk to him, and can you introduce me to him?" And he goes, I'm a big fan of his work." So he went over and he met, and apparently he was just like knocked over by the fact that he met Paul Jolowitz at that point.
Let's just clarify here, Kev. So, as we point out, Jim Gardner, the staple in Philadelphia for many, many years, has met everybody. Was floored and giddy to meet WIP's own Paul Jolowitz?
That is correct.
Wow. Ow. You ever have somebody that just was dying to meet you that, you know, you never expected?
Not Paul Jolowitz.
Okay.
I don't understand how the...
Kev, this is
amazing. Penn thing? Did he go to Penn Guard? What the hell?
Well, no, this is an amazing story.
He hasn't been in that moment. You can't wait to meet Jolly. I think everyone's been there.
No. This is, I mean, and Jim Gardner is a huge Paul Jolowitz fan. And you know what that means in turn. If Jim Gardner is staple in Philadelphia
Does
all
that mean
these years.
Cecily Tynan is too?
Well, I mean, maybe, we all love Jolly. This puts Jolly on another level, does it not?
It does.
Absolutely. I think it puts him in the pantheon right there.
A Mount Rushmore for Jolly.
By the way, Kev does an awesome job. Follow Kevin for on Twitter for all the latest links to all his stories, Phillies news, and links to the podcast, Working the Beat with Mike Curran, at Kevin Cooney. Thanks, Kev. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right.
That's amazing.
No, it is amazing. Even more amazing, we tracked him down, Al. He graciously enough agreed to come on with us this morning. He is the talk of the town right now. His name is Paul Jolowitz. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Johnny. How are you guys?
Hey, Jolly.
Paul, we were blown away to hear this story. First of all, can you confirm that Jim Gardner, you know, did in fact search you down and introduce himself to you at the press box at Citizens Bank Park?
I was blown away, Johnny. I was sitting by myself on the upper level of the press box, and I'm just watching the game, minding my own business, and I see Deuces Rogers, who's a friend of mine, a great guy, coming up the stairs. And behind him is Jim Gardner, who, as Kevin said, is at events here and there. But I've only met Jim Gardner once or twice at a Penn-Columbia game and said hello. I had no idea about anything. So I wonder where they're going. They're coming toward me. Like, what's going on here? So Deuces says, "Hey, Jolly, how you doing? I have someone here that'd like to meet you." And I'm looking at Jim Gardner, I'm like, is this some kind of setup? Where's Lorne Michaels? And then Jim Gardner says, "It's such a pleasure to meet you." And I'm just, this is the GOAT of Philadelphia news, like you said, for 4 decades. It's like an actor having Jack Nicholson come over and saying, "I love your movie." I was shocked. It was just unbelievable. We chatted for about 15 minutes. It was an amazing conversation with Deuces and Jim, and it's something I'll always remember. What a heck of an honor it was.
Now, Jolly, since meeting him, has it altered your preparation and approach to your shows moving forward. When you meet someone like Jim Gardner and you say, wait a minute. You know, I realize that people listen to me. I talk sports for a living in the city of Philadelphia, a huge sports market. But, you know, you never envision or it never comes into your mind certain people who might be listening. Has it changed the approach of Paul Jolovitz after meeting Jim Gardner?
I won't say it's changed the approach, but it's maybe more diligent. Like you said, you never know who's listening. I remember coming home that night and telling my wife, Amy, I said, you will not believe what happened tonight. That people always say you never know who's listening or who's watching at any given moment. So always do your best every second. And I that's reinforced my commitment. Do your best every second you're on the air. Because, again, you never know. I was just floored by it. It was an eye-catching experience, absolutely. Life-changing experience.
Well, Paul, I have to ask you this one question. Because when we heard the story and found out, I don't think anybody was more affected by this than Angelo, who was totally floored and, you know, knocked his socks off so much that he wanted to be able to talk to you this morning. Unfortunately, he couldn't. But now that, you know, we know the gravity of what your opinion holds, I have to ask you, because it is the most important question of the day, was Gabe Kapler a good manager?
Well, let me preface that by saying God bless Angelo's mom. May she rest in peace. And God bless everybody there, from my wife Amy and me. As far as your question goes, was he a good manager? I think it's impossible to tell whether Gabe Kapler was a good manager, because he didn't really have the talent to go with. I didn't like the talent the last couple of years. I didn't think it was up to snuff. And I don't think Gabe Kapler was up to snuff. I think most people go too far either way. He wasn't a good manager. He wasn't the guy that improved his ball club to the point where you said, I don't know how this team's doing this. But then again, I'm not sure any manager, I'm not sure Joe Girardi could have taken the cast of characters they had last year, the year before, and done much more with it. I agree with everything that Kevin said, basically, that you said, he said the right things coming in. But what he did with Nolan the first week, the bullpen, he was excessively positive. He relied too much on analytics, I think. You got to have some gut in there. I just think he had the wrong mix to lead men and be a manager of a ball club, but I also think the club didn't have enough talent, and that's why you're looking at a 500 club the last two seasons.
All right, the talk of the town, WIP Zone, Paul Jolovitz, who has the ear at all times of Jim Gardner of 6ABC. Thanks, Jolly. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
Appreciate it, Al. See
you,
Jolly. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Jolly. Thank you. Al, never at any point in your career, you worked for the four-letter network for years. I remember seeing you in that flowing mullet.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
it's coming back.
Playoff hockey. At no point did somebody say, oh, my God, that's Al Morgani. I got to go up and meet him.
No, I'm trying to think. The only weird thing I ever had was I was very good friends in college with a guy, Bill O'Reilly, used to do Fox News, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our intramural quarterback, so we were really pretty close. And he did a tour where all he did was talk. You know, he talked to the audience.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll meet you in Atlantic City. So we went down to Atlantic City, and I'm talking to O'Reilly, and he's going to go on the stage there. And this guy comes in and goes like 5 minutes, 4 minutes, like to go to before you have to. So I think it's the guy that brings you out to tell you how much time is left. So the guy goes, Al. And I said, yeah. He goes, I'm a big Penguins fan. I watched you on TV. I said, cool. Whatever. I said, the Penguins are going to be
cool,
okay.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, well, I'd like, you know, whatever. Nice. I mean, I was nice to the guy. I was nice to him.
Was it just the way you described
now?
Yeah,
it was nice.
Did you say whatever when you spoke to him?
No, I didn't say whatever. I said, that's really good. I told him I thought the Penguins are going to be good, whatever, and I really, you know, I could tell he's a big hockey fan because he knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Reilly's looking at me, and the guy leaves. He goes, you know who that was? I said, the guy to bring you on stage. No, that's the guy that's going on stage with me, Dennis Miller.
Oh, my God, Al!
You didn't realize it was him?
Oh, my God. That's the guy that brings you on stage?
I thought it was the guy that comes out and says 5 minutes to go. You know, like the
You think guy. He's a stage hand? He's the guy running the place?
This was before his Monday Night Football day?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Five minutes, Mr. Morganti?
No, for him to go, because, you know, I'm back there. He's got to go. And all they did is talk to each other. It was the weirdest thing.
It's like what Angelo did with Chevy Chase.
It's so weird.
Oh, my God. Weird. Didn't recognize Dennis Miller. It's a shame.
Bill O'Reilly goes, you haven't changed.
215-592-9494 is how you get involved. Neil, Andrew, and Jim are up next. Now would be the time to jump on board. Winners and weasels. My winner of the week, Tobias Harris, for the great things he's doing to help the community during the coronavirus. My weasel of the week, Joe Giglio, who's in studio all day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.